You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 155 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? As I'm recording this, I'm watching the news. Sadly, it's about a train crash in Hoboken, New Jersey. Fortunately, if you can say fortunately about a train crash, there was only one fatality. Someone on a platform got killed. 75 or more people hurt. The train didn't stop going into the station, jumped the tracks and hit the building. Horrible. But I guess, you know, one fatality and something like that is good. So that's the news right now. And listen, we're on the topic of train wrecks. Let's talk about Monday night's debate. Now, here's the thing. If you saw the debate, if you saw the results of the debate, if you saw the aftermath of the debate, if you saw any news at all about the debate, my question is, how are there people still undecided in this election? Okay, maybe you're one of those Bernie supporters that's just mad that Bernie's not in it anymore. I don't know... You know, you hate Hillary Clinton, and let me tell you, when it comes to Hillary Clinton and scandals, just go to YouTube, go to HBO, go to anywhere. Find John Oliver's show from last Sunday when he talked about the scandals and the comparison between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton, of course, she has the email scandal. Investigated, basically found out to be poor judgment, but not illegal. Found that by the FBI, by Congress. Basically, she was investigated by everyone who wanted to bring her down. And poor judgment, but not illegal. And the same thing done by numerous Republicans that, you know, it's never brought up. And so there was that. Then you have the Benghazi, again, you know, the numerous investigations into Benghazi by special prosecutors, 11 hours of congressional questioning, a congressman admitting that the only reason Republicans started the whole Benghazi thing was to bring down Hillary Clinton, survived it all and proven again, perhaps. No, that one's not even bad judgment. That was just a created scandal over nothing. But anyway, then he looked at Donald Trump's scandals, Trump University, which isn't a university, totally discredited. He's being sued. The numerous bankruptcies, the numerous people who've never been paid, the charitable organization, which bought a $10,000 portrait of Donald Trump. Okay, used contributions that people made to this, quote, charity, bought a $10,000 portrait of himself and put it up at a restaurant inside one of his hotels. That's not legal. Using money from the Trump charity to battle lawsuits against him, using money to pay or donate to politicians, et cetera, and yet there are people sitting around saying they're both the same. How are they both the same? So let's move on. So we have the debate now. The debate. Again, I didn't see the whole thing. Okay, I'm not going to say I saw the whole thing, but if you saw any question, I mean, really, the best, there isn't even a best one. But let's take the cybersecurity question, for example. Now, they talked about cybersecurity and hacking. So Hillary Clinton talked about the DNC being hacked by Russia, and Donald Trump comes back with, how do we know it was Russia? Maybe it was China. Maybe it was some 400-pound guy sitting on a bed. What? What? We know it was Russia because every investigator said it was Russia. Anyway, then he goes into how the DNC screwed Bernie Sanders, blah, blah, blah. But then he went into, now Hillary Clinton, you know, again, talking about cybersecurity, how ISIS and other radical organizations are using the internet to recruit, blah, blah, blah. So Hillary Clinton talked about recruiting Silicon Valley to block jihadist traffic online, trying to stop the flow of money through the internet, then airstrikes and blah, blah, blah. Donald Trump started talking about these computers. These computers are tough, and how his 10-year-old son is good with these computers. It's unbelievable. That's something your grandfather would say. I mean, I'm in my 50s, and it's something my grandfather would say. Man, these computers, whoo, man, they're complicated. I tell you, there's something going on there. Only difference is most 70-year-olds don't have a 10-year-old son. I'm sorry, shit's kind of creepy. Got a 10-year-old grandson? Yes. 10-year-old son? Creepy. And on and on. It didn't really matter what the topic was about. She had an answer. He didn't. It started out the question, and I love in debates because they never answer the question that's asked. So Lester Holt asked Donald Trump about saying something about Hillary's looks, and Donald switched it and said, "No, I didn't say how she looks. I said it was her stamina. She doesn't have any stamina." And Hillary was great. Hillary was like, okay, once he's traveled to 112 countries, negotiated peace treaties, blah, 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 survived 11 hours of congressional questioning, blah, then talk to me about stamina. Bam! She's hitting, right? Then wow, I sounded just like him. That was one of his actual answers. The whole thing was ridiculous. But again, I say, how are you undecided? Listen, if you support Donald Trump, that's fine. It's your right. Support Donald Trump. But don't tell me that you can't decide between these two candidates. The spin room, which this is another phenomenon that's just great. The spin room is where they go after the debate to debate the results of the debate. So what happens in the spin room, it's the bullshit room. Let's go in here and lie. So people go in and they support their candidate. They talk about, you know, my candidate won because of this, my candidate won because of that. So on the Trump side, we have the parade of characters. Don King comes out. Don King came into the spin room and said, Donald Trump is not a racist. There is no better proof of Donald Trump being a racist than Don King saying Donald Trump is not a racist. When asked about the relationship between racism and the police, et cetera, in the United States, you know, Hillary Clinton talked about there is a distrust and that conversations, a dialogue needs to be started, et cetera. She gave the political answer, but it was the right answer. Donald Trump, more stop and frisk. Yeah, that was his, that you heard me right. His response to a question about the police and black people in light of all the killings, in light of Black Lives Matter, in light of riots in the streets, he says more stop and frisk. Because what would be better than more police stopping innocent young black people and brown people and frisking them for no reason? Just, you look kind of shady. You look a little dark to be walking the street. We're going to stop and frisk you. Stop and frisk has been proven to be unconstitutional, declared unconstitutional by judges, and it didn't work. It didn't work. The crime rate came down because of numerous other reasons not stop. Why am I even arguing this? The hell? I'm not. Forgive me. Such a... can't argue with that. Omarosa was there supporting Donald Trump. I still don't understand that. I have met the woman. She is very intelligent. I don't understand this. I get the publicity angle. I don't know if she's going to bounce back from this supporting of Donald Trump. I honestly can't believe she does. I think it's a publicity stunt, but I don't know if she can bounce back from this one. But I guess time will tell. So, okay, I'm going to give you an example of how ridiculous this Trump campaign is. The Arizona Republic, okay, which is the newspaper, the big newspaper in Phoenix, for the first time in its 126-year history, has endorsed a Democrat for president. They endorse Hillary Clinton. They said, and these are just some of the quotes, the 2016 Republican candidate is not conservative and he is not qualified. A stunning lack, this is describing Donald Trump, a stunning lack of human decency, empathy, and respect, being beneath our national dignity. It's amazing. I mean, They said, and this is all quotes from their endorsement, okay? The challenges the United States faces domestically and internationally demand a steady hand, a cool head, and the ability to think carefully before acting. Hillary Clinton understands this. Donald Trump does not. Clinton has a temperament and experience to be president. Donald Trump does not. And on and on and on. That is, let me tell you what that is. That's, that is the equivalent of Fox News endorsing Black Lives Matter. The Arizona Republic, this is a newspaper that supported all that crazy immigration stuff that Arizona tried a few years ago when they wanted to have their own immigration laws separate from the United States. This is a paper that has supported crazy-ass Sheriff Joe and their crazy governor, the one who wouldn't shake hands with Barack Obama, and on and on and on. You understand? This is not the left-wing media. This is not the mainstream media. This is the Arizona Republic. This is, we should be able to carry our guns just like the Old West to the nursery school or the Chipotle as necessary. They support Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump, and yet there are undecided voters. I do not understand it. I cannot understand it. If you're out there and you're undecided, and in the unlikely event you hear or listen to my podcast, can you do me a favor? Can you send me a message on Twitter or Facebook or something? Can someone tell me how anyone is undecided in this election? I'm not saying don't support Donald Trump. If he's your guy, he's your guy. But undecided? What could it be? What are you waiting for? I don't know. Black Lives Matter, except the police. I mean, this has gotten, it's a line between tragic and ridiculous that we're on constantly. So one more unarmed black man killed by police, and, you know, they'll be, sorry for coughing, a little dry here. There'll be investigations and talk and this and that. But basically, Alfred Alango in El Cajon, California, his sister called because he has had mental illness and he was having an episode. And she called the police to grab him, to calm him down. He's in the street. He's doing whatever. So I'm reading this from the statement from the police. The subject paced back and forth while officers tried to talk to him. At one point, the subject rapidly drew an object from his front pants pocket, placed both hands together, and extended them rapidly toward the officer, taking up what appeared to be a shooting stance. At this time, the officer with the electronic control device discharged his weapon. Simultaneously, the officer with the firearm discharged his weapon several times, striking the subject. And the subject has passed away as a result of his injury. So that's a nice way of saying that a man who is a mental patient, who you are told is a mental patient, maybe pretends to have a gun or something, and one officer tases him, which is what you do. You electronic subdue, you tase the guy. The other guy, open fire and kill him. The sister was yelling that she didn't... She didn't call the police to kill him. Now, you had witnesses saying things like the man was confused and tried to run because he was surrounded. Witnesses are saying he was unarmed. He, you know, There's talk where phones confiscated that had video, or were they not confiscated? The police are saying phones were not confiscated. Listen, the bottom line is, once again, I mean, it's literally a weekly event now. Perhaps they want to just run a box score in the newspaper. What black person, what brown person, what unarmed person was shot by the police this week? I don't know. I don't know what to say. How can the police continue to act like this when they know they're being watched? You know, here's something now. Years ago, before we all had video cameras in our hands, known as our phones, this went on. Police beat black and brown people. Police shot and killed black and brown people. Police planted guns, planted evidence. We know it, but everyone denied it. Everyone's like, no, these black people are criminals and they're lying and this. So now, starting with the Rodney King beating, which was over 20 years ago till now, we just see more and more video of the same thing. We see more and more dirty cops getting caught on video. But you know what else we see? We see more and more police departments still covering it up, still denying it. We still have a huge population, a huge segment of the society that says this doesn't exist, even as we watch it exist. We have a presidential candidate from the Republican Party, a major party Republican candidate, says that the police need to do more stop and frisk. That's the solution, for the police to antagonize people even more. I don't know what the fuck. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how this is fixed. I've said it before. I say it again. I believe there are lots of good cops, and until the good cops stop the bad cops, until the cop with the taser tases the cop with the gun, for God's sake, this is going to keep happening. And you know, how many is too many? Which one is the wrong one? When do people open their eyes? I don't know. I don't know the answer to any of those questions. But we cannot, as a society, continue. And I'm sorry about this. I didn't mean to get all heavy in a podcast like this. But we cannot, as a society, continue to operate like this. It is an unsustainable model, which is what someone much more intelligent than me would say to describe it. So, yes, Black Lives Matter. And you're going to hear more from athletes and celebrities and everywhere that these white people who live in denial or hatred or racism, whatever fuels them, everywhere they hate hearing it, they're only going to hear it more as it continues to happen. Okay, I got to shift gears. Maybe a little positivity. You know I'm a car nut, and you know I like picking on the millennials. I like making fun of the millennials because they have no natural defenses. It's just fun. You just joke with them and make fun of them, and they're like, that's mean, but they don't really have anything. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I am picking on children. I don't know. But anyway, one of the big things with the millennials, and again, if you're a car person or if you've listened to me, you've heard it said over and over that they don't want to drive, they don't like cars, blah, blah, blah. Well, apparently that's wrong, because according to creditkarma.com, 78% of millennials do own cars. Another 12% have a desire to own a car. 55% said they purchased their first ride before reaching the age of 22. And less than 8% said they had no plans to own a car. 84% agreed with the statement, I enjoy driving. So apparently they are driving, even though we're heading toward these autonomous cars that they won't have to drive, and there's all this talk about Uber and ride-sharing service. Maybe they just don't want to get attacked by an Uber driver. Maybe it's not so much I enjoy driving, it's I enjoy not being attacked by an Uber driver who creepily keeps my address and comes by my house the following night. Whatever it is, it's good for the car industry. It's good to know. I don't know a lot of young car lovers, but it's good to know they're out there, you know. I was recently part of a discussion for KPCC. I do a podcast over there called The Ride. You can look it up online, The Ride at KPCC. And we were talking about the future of vehicles, and the argument was kind of between no vehicles, right, getting around by whether it be a small community where you walk or public transportation, versus autonomous vehicles versus one guy had flying vehicles, which sound great, but really, do you trust us flying anything? I don't. But anyway, very interesting conversation. But are young people buying cars? Yeah, I guess so. So that's good to know. There'll be more Priuses in the world. The last thing I'm going to say, and I am the, you know, none of us are qualified to say it, but we're all saying it. And when I say qualified, I mean there's no way to accurately describe what this man has done. Vin Scully has been the announcer for the Dodgers for 67 years. He has one of those voices that you recognize instantly. His description of baseball is absolute poetry. He goes back to when you didn't have TVs everywhere and you listened to the game on the radio and the announcer had to describe the action and build the drama and give you background on the players and so on. So 67 years he's been doing Dodger games, and he's just retired. And all we can say is thank you. Thank you. You are an institution. You are a treasure. There'll be a wing in the Hall of Fame for guys like you. So goodbye, Vin Scully. The Dodgers have made the playoffs. And you know what? I'm a Met fan, but I'm giving the Dodgers some love right now because Vin Scully was truly one of the great sports announcers of all time. I don't know, people. I'm looking. Man, you got to look for the funny now. Outside of the Donald, who's hilarious, or maybe hanging out in the spin room and listening to liars lie about liars. That's what the spin room is. Hi, we're here to lie about the lies you just heard in debate. There's got to be something funny somewhere. I'm looking for it. I don't know. Our presidential election. To the undecided voters, I can't decide if I like you. All right? That's all I got. Next week, October 6th, I'm going to be at the Improv in Hollywood. October 7th, I'm going to be back at the Ice House in Pasadena. I haven't been to the Ice House in a long time. Great comedy club. I'm looking forward to it. I'm thanking you for listening. They're asking who's paying attention. It's you, and I appreciate it. It's Alonzo Bowden signing off.
Hey guys, it's Adam Ray.
And Josh Wolf, and we have a new podcast on the Sideshow Network called Good Call. It's a sports show for the casual fan. We aren't talking stats, no spreadsheets, or in-depth analysis, nothing like that.
Yeah, it's just fan opinions that will make you laugh and think. So if you want to listen to it, download, rate, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, or check us out on the sideshownetwork.tv/goodcall, or anywhere you get your podcasts.
I'm not sure how much thinking is being done.
What?
Yeah.